In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to break with tradition this morning. I'm doing this at risk, I know, of having the liturgical police break down our doors, stop the service, and haul the preacher off in handcuffs, but I'm going to do it anyway. Besides, my son Chris is working today at music jail, and so I'm sure he can get me a good cellmate. Instead of preaching on any of the assigned texts this morning, I've chosen to preach on Proverbs 31, verse 29. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Now, don't panic. This isn't some sort of anti-liturgical conversion experience that I've gone through. I'm not caving to cultural pressures and conforming myself to the world. I'm not abandoning the lectionary. You know that I appreciate the lectionary. It keeps the church from getting sidetracked. It protects you from me. Besides, it ties us to the rest of the whole church Catholic. But every once in a while, because the lectionary doesn't own us, we can leave it to hang by itself for a day. Not every Sunday, of course, but every once in a while. Today's Mother's Day, and we ought to talk about our mothers. For many people, Mother's Day is a bittersweet day. Some people are estranged from their moms. Some don't know their mothers. Some have been abandoned or abused by their mothers. Some have mothers addicted to drugs or alcohol or even a career. Some have mothers who've passed their addictions on to their children. Many mothers feel like failures as mothers because their kids don't turn out so well, or they've walked away from the faith. Some want desperately to be mothers, but God hasn't given them the gift of children. On the other hand, some have tragically lost children. Some have miscarried children. Some have aborted their children. Today, motherhood's in crisis. The signs are all around. The woman who finds satisfaction in being a faithful wife and mother is made to feel weak, unimportant, incomplete, unfulfilled, less of a woman than she ought to be. Our culture looks down its nose at stay-at-home moms. Mothering has become a 9-month inconvenience followed by a short maternity leave and a race to find good, affordable daycare. But they've got to do it because otherwise, how's the family going to make it in Southern California or anywhere, really? Of course, God forbid we opt for a smaller house. Heaven forbid the kids share a bedroom. Besides, moms have to, because if they don't, then what else are they? Nothing, really. I'm just a mom. How sad. I'm just a mom. One of the most honored callings under God's heaven is now belittled by the word just. Just a mom. We never say, I'm just a lawyer. I'm just a nurse. I'm just a surgeon. I'm just a pilot. But we do say just a mom. And when we do, we diminish what God has highly honored. Motherhood is a gift from God. It's a holy calling, blessed and honored by the Creator of heaven and earth. The first woman and mother was named Eve. Her name means life. In fact, the Greek version of the Old Testament says that that was her name, Adam and Zoe. Adam and life. She's the mother of all the living. Woman was taken from man, but every man is born of a woman. Everyone has a mother. Motherhood is the great equalizer between men and women. And it's the unique dignity and honor of women. Men can't be mothers. Although if I could, I would carry my pregnancy up here. This looks so uncomfortable. Pragmatically, though, women can do anything men can do. They can be attorneys, soldiers, doctors, accountants, steel workers, mechanics, governors, presidents, but only women can be mothers. It's time to take some pride in that again. Raise your heads high and never say, "I'm just a mom," about yourself or any other woman. To be a mother is a high and holy calling, the highest calling given a woman by God. Mothering is holy work for a baptized, believing woman. For a Christian woman, the giving of herself for her children is a living sacrifice, as Paul calls it. Or as Peter said this morning, a spiritual sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God protects and honors the gift of motherhood with a special commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And he has dire warning, kids. Of course, we're all kids. For those who don't. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Thus says the Lord in Proverbs. Try to put that on a Mother's Day card. Fortunately, though, there are better reasons to honor your mom than the threat of having your eyes plucked out and eaten by the birds. Your mom is God's instrument. Honor her and love her for that. She carried you for 9 months in her body. She put up with morning sickness and swollen feet and achy joints and the pain of delivery so that you could have life. She changed your diapers and nursed and burped you. She toilet trained you. And how many times that has come in handy? That's reason enough to honor her. When we lose this sense of motherhood as God's gift, we lose our humanity. We become inhuman, uncaring, unfeeling. When you skinned your knee or scraped your elbow, you usually didn't go running off to Dad. Dad was good for other stuff. You went to Mom for Band-Aids. Mom's medicine bag was filled with really good stuff. Hugs, kisses, comfort food. Comfort food in our house was Gail's homemade chicken soup. Gail's chicken soup cures about anything that ails you. It still does. It's even better than Windex. Mothers are God's gift to us. We have at least this one thing in common with everybody else in the world. We all have mothers. Mothers come in all shapes and sizes. Some are self-sacrificing, others self-centered, some strong, others weak, some warm and fuzzy, others cold as ice. Some are heroic, others ordinary, and some are broken. Broken moms. Because our mothers aren't perfect. We shouldn't expect them to be. They're all bent by sin as much as we are. There are no perfect mothers. Just like there are no perfect kids. Sometimes our mothers lashed out at us because they were as frustrated and confused as we are. They may have abused us or abandoned us. They may have let us down when we needed them the most. They may have hurt us deeply, but they are our mothers through whom we receive the gift of life. When we don't honor our mothers, we not only dishonor God, we dishonor ourselves. Anger toward our mothers hurts us more than it hurts our mothers. That's usually what happens anyway. It always does more damage to you than to the one you're angry at. If you've been damaged by your mother, let this day be a day of reconciliation and peace. Let the wounds of Jesus heal your wounds. Let his cross be the lens through which you view your mother. See her the way God sees you. Through the death and resurrection of his son. Jesus died for your mother, and he died for you. Let Jesus get between you, even if she's long since died. Let the love of Jesus flow through you to the woman who gave you life. Forgive her. Give thanks to God for her, no matter how broken she might have been. It's a popular thing to say it takes a village to raise a child. I kind of agree. And it takes a lot of moms. Think about all the women who mothered you, who shaped your life, who taught you and nourished you. Birth moms and adoptive moms, stepmoms and foster moms, school and Sunday school teachers, the woman on the block or circle where you grew up who made sure you got home safely from the bus stop. There's one little boy on our circle who got off the kindergarten bus at noon with all the other kids, but he was supposed to be in daycare at school. Caused total chaos there. When asked about it, he said he knew that if he got back to David's circle, he'd be okay. And he was. His mom was at work, but his David circle moms were there. Think of all the women who mothered you, who shaped your life, who told you to slow down, first when you were racing your big wheel down toward the cross street, and later when you drove your car up the street toward home like you were Danica Patrick. All the church ladies, the classroom moms at school, all the moms who weren't your mom, maybe they weren't anyone's mom, but with their love, they mothered you. And your friends' moms, too, who basically told you the same thing your own mom did, but somehow it was easier to hear it from them than it was from your mom, at least then. You might want to tell your mom sorry for that one. We have many mothers in the faith. St. Paul reminded Timothy of his grandmother Lois and his mom Eunice, who bounced little Timothy on their laps as an infant and told him Bible stories. Our spiritual moms taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven," and "Now I lay me down to sleep." They read us Bible stories and taught us the hymns of the faith. They dressed us up for Christmas pageants and dragged us to church and Sunday school and confirmation class when we didn't feel like going, just like they drag us to the doctor when we didn't feel like going there either. And they prayed for us, like Augustine's mother, Monica. She prayed every day for 30 years for the conversion of her son. Many of us, I dare say, are here today on account of the prayers of our spiritual mothers. And many of our kids are going to be able to say the same thing in 30 years. Jesus had a mother. Mary is the model of Christian motherhood. She stands at the end of a long line of chosen mothers. Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and a whole host of other nameless women. All these women carried the promise of God that through the seed of the woman would come the salvation of the world. Mary trusted God. She trusted God through her pregnancy. Even though the world looked down on this poor, unwed, pregnant teenager, God blessed her, and she is rightly called highly favored among women. You can hold your head high with pride, sisters in Christ. A woman is called the mother of our Lord. No man bears such honor and dignity. At just the right moment, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. God entered our world the hard way, our way, by the way of a human mother. Jesus honored his mother as a child, as an adult, and even from the cross. He was the perfect son to his imperfect mother, perfect where we could not be perfect, perfect in our place. By his dying and rising, Jesus forgives the sins of mothers against their children and children's sins against their mothers. He's nailed them to the cross. He's drowned them in the flood of baptism. He rose victorious over the enemy. You are forgiven. We are at peace. We are free. Free to give thanks to God for our mothers. Today, while we give thanks to God for our mothers, it's also right to give thanks for our spiritual mother, the church. Lutherans don't usually talk that way. We usually think of the church as a business, a 501c3 corporation, a not-for-profit organization, or the local franchise of a national denomination, instead of a mother. Maybe it's because we don't take our teaching on baptism seriously enough. If baptism works a new and heavenly birth, then in baptism we have God as our Father and the church as our mother. You know, you don't always know who the Father is, but you always know who the mother is. And Mother Church tells us who our Father is, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And she tells us, we have a brother too, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The church is the womb in which we are conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the waters of holy baptism. The church nurses infant faith with the milk, the pure spiritual milk of the Word, the gospel, Luther calls it. She cares for Christ's little ones and consoles them. She teaches. She bandages wounds and gives hugs. She prays for her children. She provides the healing comfort food of our Lord's Supper. There are times we don't honor her as we should. After all, she's very old, and we've stuck her in a nursing home on Church Row. We've ignored her, knowing that we can stay away for years, and she'll still be there. We might visit her for 60 minutes on a Sunday and say, she should be happy with that. She cooks all week and sets a lavish table and invites all her kids over for Sunday supper. Taste and see that the Lord is good, she says. But we have other more important things to do. We fail to support her. We're much more concerned about what we'll get from her than what we can give to her. And I'll grant, like our earthly mothers, the church hasn't always been a good mother to her children. She fails to bandage the bruised and comfort the healing, comfort the hurting. People have come looking for the comfort of the gospel, and she gives them a scolding from the law. She often neglects her children, abandoning them in their time of need instead of wrapping her arms around them. She's embarrassed by some of us, sometimes because we make her look bad. Many have been hurt by Mother Church more than we care to admit. And maybe that's one of the reasons people no longer visit their baptismal mother on her day. Forgiveness makes for blessed marriages. And forgiveness makes for a good relationship with our mom, the church, too. It goes both ways. The will of God is this, that we believe in Jesus, whom God sent to be our Savior, born of a virgin mother, born under the law, who died and rose and reigns to make you his own, to be his brother and Lord, to welcome you into God's family and into his church. So today, we give thanks and praise to the Father in and through Jesus for the gift of motherhood, for the gift of our mothers through whom we received life, for the gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of our Lord, by whom he shares in our flesh and blood, and for the gift of the church through whom we are born to eternal life. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us rise and